Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much. If you attend almost any church on a regular basis, you almost certainly have heard some preacher use the word indifference. Did you know that no standard version of the Bible uses that word, either in the Old Testament or in the New? Am I saying that preachers ought not to use the word because it does not appear in any standard translation of the Bible? Even though the word indifference does not appear in the Bible, does not mean we should not use it. You will not find words like Trinity and Incarnation in the Bible. But those words accurately express the truth of the gospel. So the word indifference describes a condition that was prominent among the Jews of the Old Law and is found among men and women who call themselves Christians. We shall devote our time today to the topic, Dangers Confronting the Church, Indifference. Webster's Dictionary of Synonyms lists the following words as synonyms of the word indifferent: unconcerned, incurious, aloof, detached, or disinterested. The word involves not caring, at least not caring enough to make an effort to become involved. For example, there are millions of people who express great concern about such evils as abortion, infanticide, gambling, beverage alcohol, physician-assisted suicide, and sexual perversion. But they are conveniently quiet on these topics. If we are on fire for the Lord, we shall oppose all evils, even those that receive almost universal approval. Our behavior is not determined by popular vote or what is politically correct, but by what the Scriptures teach. Many of the Jewish people in every year of the nation's history were truly dedicated to serving the Lord with all their hearts. But there were hundreds of thousands of Jews who could have cared less about doing the will of God. They were more interested in serving their own selfish interests than in doing what God demanded of them. The 8th century prophet Isaiah wrote concerning the materialistic attitudes of the Israelites: "Woe unto them who join house to house, and lay field to field, until there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In my ear, says the Lord of hosts, of a truth many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of a homer shall yield an ephah." Isaiah 5:8-11. In other words, the Jews would have been better off not to plant. Their yield would be considerably less than what they had planted. That was because they were greedy. One of the reasons the Israelites of Isaiah's day were so greedy was because of their indifference to the Lord's work. Or it may have been that their indifference stemmed from their greed. But whatever the case, many of God's people did not care. Isaiah wrote, "The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know, my people do not consider." Isaiah 1:3. The word consider means to understand. The Israelites did not know nor understand because they were not sufficiently interested. It was not because they lacked ability or opportunity. They just did not care. Their indifference led to the Babylonian exile and to their eventual extinction as the elect nation. Hosea, an 8th century prophet also, expressed concerns similar to those of Isaiah. He quotes the Lord as saying to Israel, "When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria. For they commit falsehood, and the thief comes in, and the troop of robbers spoils without. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face." Hosea 7:1-2. I'm aware that these words were written more than 2,700 years ago. And yet they describe many modern people even some within the church of our Lord. Too many of us do not think about God's gracious gifts. We do not care enough to serve Him faithfully and enthusiastically. The New Testament records a number of historical situations when God's people and others were indifferent and unconcerned. The book of Acts tells of Paul's preaching to Felix, a minor Roman official. And as he, Paul, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go your way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you." Acts 24:25. How could any intelligent man ignore the preaching of the great apostle? Did Felix not care about righteousness, temperance, or self-control, and the judgment to come? If he had not cared at all, he would not have trembled. But he did not care enough to repent of his gross sins and to turn to the Lord for the forgiveness of sins. And when is it ever convenient to cease sinning? The book of Revelation discusses two churches in the first century that were indifferent, the church at Ephesus and the church at Laodicea. The church at Ephesus had many admirable qualities. They labored to the point of exhaustion. They endured in the face of major obstacles. They would not carry the burden of unfaithful members. And they tried some who claimed to be apostles but were not, and found them to be liars. Revelation 2:2. Many people, including religious leaders, would probably argue that this was a good church, maybe even a great church. But the Lord, who knows our hearts, said to that church, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love." Revelation 2:5. In his excellent books, Word Pictures of the New Testament, Dr. A.T. Robertson, a moderate Calvinist, says that the Ephesians' indifference was a definite and sad departure. This early love, proof of their new life in Christ, had cooled off in spite of their doctrinal purity. They had remained orthodox, but had become unloving partly because of the controversies with the Nicolaitans. Volume 6, page 299. Is a church in danger of losing its standing with the Lord when it loses its first love? We do not have to guess or speculate about the answer to that question. The Lord commanded the Ephesians, "Remember therefore from whence you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly, and will remove your candlestick out of his place, except you repent." Revelation 2:5. As you can readily discern from our brief discussion of the church at Ephesus, a church is in danger of ceasing to be the church of the Lord when its members lose their first love. They must change their minds and their lives and return with great diligence to serve the living God. Perhaps the best example of indifference in the New Testament was the church at Laodicea. Jesus said to the Laodiceans, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." Revelation 3:15-16. The Greek word translated spew is emesai, and means to vomit. Our word emetic, which means an agent for inducing vomiting, comes from this Greek word. No student of the Bible should miss the meaning of the Lord's message to the church at Laodicea. Lukewarmness makes the Lord sick at his stomach, figuratively speaking. Indifference with the Lord is not a matter of indifference. He expresses great concern for those who are not concerned about his work. The Laodiceans had a different view of their spiritual condition from that of the Lord. They said, "We are rich and increased in goods, and have need of nothing." Revelation 3:17. What we think of ourselves and what the Lord thinks of us may be entirely different. Jesus Christ said to the Laodiceans, "You do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Revelation 3:17. He urged the Laodiceans, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Revelation 3:18. Does that mean there was hope for the lukewarm church in Laodicea? These final words to the Laodiceans should be a great comfort and inspiration to all Christians. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Revelation 3:19-22. From our brief study of the church at Laodicea, we should learn that the Lord vigorously disapproves of indifference among his people. He wants us to be on fire for him. Although he does not approve of his people's being cold, that is a better condition from the Lord's viewpoint than being lukewarm or indifferent. The Apostle Peter admonishes all Christians, Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, that is, add the Christian graces, you shall never fall. 2 Peter 1:10. The Greek word translated give diligence, spoudazo, means to make maximum effort, to be zealous, to take pains, or to be earnest. It is the very opposite of indifference. What are some of the signs of lukewarmness or indifference in the church of the living God? When Christians fail to allot time for the study of the Scriptures, is that not an indication of indifference? How can we know how to serve God acceptably unless we allocate enough time to become acquainted with His Word? Tragically and inexplicably, many who call themselves Christians spend less time in the study of the Bible than they do in watching television. No wonder all kinds of errors creep into the church. The average Christian does not know enough about the Scriptures to recognize false doctrine. Yet the Bible continually warns about false teachers. The Apostle John wrote, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 John 4:1. I urge everyone under the sound of my voice to plan regular periods of serious Bible study. And that, dear friends, means more than a simple reading of the Scriptures. We must devote ourselves to in-depth study. Fortunately, there are many wonderful helps in our study of the Word, such as Bible dictionaries, word studies, concordances, encyclopedias, and many others. We should take advantage of all these helps in our study. Another sign of indifference among church members is irregular attendance at all the services of the local congregation. Deliberately absenting yourself from the worship services means you are neglecting opportunities to worship God, to enjoy fellowship with people of like precious faith, to learn more about the Word of God, and to show the world your devotion to the cause of Christ. The author of Hebrews could hardly have made this truth plainer. Will you please give attention to these powerful words? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He who despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment do you suppose shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden under foot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has insulted the Spirit of grace. Hebrews 10:23-29. If you listen carefully to this reading from Hebrews 10, you cannot avoid understanding just how serious it is for Christians to miss the worship services of the church. It not only is a serious sin to miss those services, it often leads to complete apostasy from the faith. Another indication of indifference on the part of church members is a lack of interest in teaching the lost about Jesus Christ and His gospel. If you believe, as the New Testament so plainly teaches, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, how can you justify not taking the saving message to those who are lost in sin? Maybe you think that is the preacher's or the elder's responsibility, but no Christian is exempt from teaching the lost. You may not have the opportunities that preachers and elders do, but you must strive to reach the people with whom you associate, your friends, your family members, your fellow employees, and others as you have opportunity. Hundreds of thousands of people are meeting their Maker every year. Many of these have no hope because they do not know Jesus Christ in the forgiveness of their sins. If you do not feel any responsibility for these lost souls, is there not some question about your commitment to Jesus Christ? As you know, if you have thought seriously about it, many of the church's works can only be performed if the members give as they are prospered. If the church will send missionaries to Russia, to Romania, to Germany, and to other parts of the world, somebody has to furnish the money. It takes a great amount of money to support a missionary in any of these countries. In his great letter to the church at Philippi, Paul commended the Philippians for their generous support. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Philippians 1:3-5. Later in the same epistle, Paul wrote, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Philippians 1:15-17. Did you know that Paul teaches that our giving proves the sincerity of our love? He said to the Corinthians, "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." 2 Corinthians 8:8. If we fail to give as the Bible teaches, it means we are losing or have lost our first love. Finally, unconcern about what is occurring in the church and in the world shows that we are indifferent to the cause of New Testament Christianity. Tragically, many Christians express disappointment with some changes taking place in the church, but they're not troubled enough to do anything about it. I remember speaking to a woman about the compromises some churches of Christ are making by having fellowship with those who teach false doctrine. She asked if I thought all the people of a certain denomination were going to be lost. That really has nothing to do with the topic. What I think or what you think does not alter the will of God. The question is, can people be saved who have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? If they can, what was God's reason for sending Jesus into the world to die for our sins? How hard-hearted men are when they deliberately ignore the teaching of Scripture or when they pervert the will of God. My friends, there is a solution to indifference. Jesus commanded the church at Ephesus, "Remember, therefore, from whence you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works." Revelation 2:5. He said to the church in the city of Laodicea, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." Revelation 3:20. in view of our resurrection and the final judgment. How can anyone be indifferent about the Lord's work? We must be diligent workers in the Lord's vineyard. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. I close our lesson today with these stirring words from Paul to Titus. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that you affirm constantly, that they who have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Titus 3:8. My friends, we thank you for listening. May God continue to bless and keep you.